God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Thank you, Lord. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Wow. Do you remember the troll farms? The Russian troll farms that were telling Americans to not take the magic COVID shots? Those shots that some people still either think or pretend are vaccines. Remember that? It was shocking. In fact, there were Americans who were telling other Americans to not take the COVID shots. It wasn't just Russian troll farms that were doing that. A Reuters investigation has found some other troll farms who are telling people to not take vaccines. American troll farms telling Filipinos to not take the vaccines made by China. This was our government running a campaign to tell Filipinos to not take the injections. There were other American troll accounts telling people that masks didn't work, that the vaccine was fake, but the coronavirus is real. This came out of our government. But what part of our government? Our Department of Defense, our Pentagon. Now, remember something, please. When Tony Fauci, who I wholeheartedly contend, and think I can prove is a sociopath, if I had the opportunity to cross-examine Tony Fauci, I think I could convict him of human rights violations and probably of at least homicide. Well, negligent homicide. I don't think he was negligent. I think he knew what he was doing. Tony Fauci knew where the money was in Washington, D.C. Tony Fauci figured out it was the Department of Defense that had a bottomless pit of money. And so he attached himself to the Department of Defense. It is very likely that COVID itself, the actual flu, if it exists, was started through the Department of Defense. Tony Fauci used money from there to undergage in testing with the Wuhan lab in China. When he got caught and Barack Obama told him to stop through executive order, making it a legal order, Tony Fauci merely laundered the money through private groups and universities. That same Department of Defense was running a PSYOP to tell people in the Philippines to not take the injections that came from China. This is from Reuters. Through phony internet accounts meant to impersonate Filipinos, the military's propaganda efforts morphed into anti-vax campaigns. Social media posts decried the quality of face masks, test kits, and the first vaccine that would become available in the Philippines, China's Sinovac inoculation. Reuters identified at least 300 accounts on X, formerly Twitter, that matched descriptions shared by the former U.S. military officials familiar with the Philippines operation. Almost all were created in the summer of 2020 and centered on the slogan, hashtag China, Chinang virus. Tagalog for China is the virus. One fake account claimed COVID came from China and the vaccine also came from China. Don't trust China. Well, in reality, Reuters, the COVID flu, if it exists, actually probably did come from China. Another account said, from China, PPE, face mask, vaccine, fake, but the coronavirus is real. Why were they doing this? What was the motive? Reuters points out that the campaign entered into Central Asia and the Middle East, tailoring the propaganda campaign to local audiences across Central Asia and the Middle East. The Pentagon used a combination of fake social media accounts on multiple platforms to spread fear of China's vaccine among Muslims at a time when the virus was killing tens of thousands of people each day. Pause. That never happened. The virus was never killing tens of thousands of people each day, ever. That never happened. They accomplished that through the fake PCR tests and calling anyone who died, who ever got near the COVID flu, a COVID death. Back to the article. A key part of the strategy amplified the disruption, the disrupted contention that because vaccines sometimes contain pork gelatin, China shots could be considered forbidden under Islamic law. Why did they do this? It's my belief that our Pentagon right now is wanting to destabilize the world. That's my belief. And I think that's happening because there is a populist awakening. Now, populism is a political term. It's a rising up of the people. And the populism, though, is at this point rational. Absolutely rational. It's a fact that Europe has been overrun with illegal immigrants on purpose. It's a fact that the United States is being overrun with illegal immigrants on purpose. It's a fact that those immigrants who are being imported into Europe hate Europe. Not all of them. Many of them hate Europe. They are cloistering in all Islamic cities. They are changing the voting blocks. They're making it impossible for there to be a democratic uprising on behalf of the European Constitution. After all, the new visitors, the new residents don't like the European Constitution. They want Sharia law, such as the case in Canada and the United States. This is being aided and abetted by our Department of Defense and that of other countries. The people who consider themselves the bosses of the world do not like the Donald Trump types. The other leaders who are rising up to say, no, we're not going to have nonsense in our government. We're seeing it happen. We're seeing a shift. Populism at this point is rational. A note to the world bosses. If you keep doing this, the populism is going to become less rational and more angry. You are lighting a fuse to a bomb you think you control, and I pray to the Lord He will awaken you to what you are about to cause. It's a different aspect of the playing field, but it's the same game. PBS, even after the conviction of Hunter Biden on gun crimes, even after that, and remember that the Department of Defense allowed the most serious of those crimes to go through the statute of limitations to expire. They did that, in my judgment, on purpose. Remember that these are the least of the crimes with which Hunter Biden should have been charged. Here's where PBS is at on this over the weekend.
A campaign spokesperson for President Trump issued a statement repeating baseless accusations against President Biden, claiming that he was involved in his son's business dealings overseas, which there has been no evidence to support those claims from former President Trump, as well as other Republicans. It's important to note, Amna, the difference between the way Republicans reacted to the verdict in Trump's New York case versus the way Democrats have reacted to the Hunter Biden verdict. And that's that Republicans called the system rigged when the verdict came down and said that they ultimately thought that there was a conspiracy theory. Democrats, by comparison, have said that the judicial process needs to be respected.
Let's just go through this from the very, very beginning. So we're back to it's disinformation that Biden was engaged in his son's business. That's a lie. It's not disinformation. Joe Biden was involved in meetings and phone calls, and his name was sold. They sold access to him. That's an established fact. That's being involved in his son's business. PBS is lying about that. The case of President Trump's court case is a little bit different than Hunter Biden's. In that instance, Alvin Bragg took a federal crime, which is not to be adjudicated in state court, brought it into state court. He took a misdemeanor in the federal crime being election interference. And then in the state court, he took what is a misdemeanor, one, which is the wrong labeling of a legal expense. That was the hush money allegedly paid to Stormy Daniels through President Trump. And he turned that into 34 felonies. This is the same prosecutor who had magically turned violent misdemeanors or violent felonies into nonviolent misdemeanors. Then he refused to tell the president's attorneys and the president what he was charged with until the closing arguments. That's illegal. You're to know what you're being charged with so you can prepare a defense. They selected a jury in a district that was 90% against President Trump. They refused to allow him to call Federal Election Commission witnesses. On the other hand, in the case of Hunter Biden, the DOJ had those charges, had that evidence for 7 years. For 7 years, they held on to it until the most serious crimes had gone through the statute of limitations. Then they picked a minor, relatively, felony for gun possession. Now, remember this. That same media, PBS among them, had said that the Hunter Biden laptop was disinformation. Miranda Devine, writing at the New York Post's headline, Trump has set the stage to nail Joe Biden for his lies about Hunter's laptop. She talks about some of the analysis that the FBI finally did, or at least admitted to having done, on Hunter's laptop. Using metadata analysis, they found that the laptop was not manipulated in any way, therefore not hacked, as the media had lied and said it was. Experts were able to determine precisely when each file on the laptop was created, so again, able to determine that this was not after the fact. Verified it had not been tampered with or modified in the 6 months since Hunter had abandoned it. FBI agent Erica Jensen told the court last week the IRS and FBI investigators obtained a covert search warrant for Hunter's Apple iCloud account and happened to look at that. Guess what? His iCloud account, his backup account, showed that this was, again, proved this was Hunter's computer. It also contained backup files for his iPad and three iPhones. When investigators also later came into possession of the defendant's Apple MacBook Pro, which he had left at a computer store, it was information investigators had already obtained from Apple. In other words, they established that the laptop wasn't tampered with and that most of its content was corroborated by a mirror image on the iCloud. Remember, this PBS now says there's no proof. President Trump, with no proof at all, saying that Joe Biden was involved in his son's business dealings. They're lying with your tax dollars. And the Pentagon apparently used your tax dollars to run troll farms to tell Filipinos to not get the China injection. Who told them to do that? Maybe our pharma companies? You know, the FDA, which is a pharma company, the CDC, which is a pharma company, and then the smaller pharma companies, Pfizer and Moderna. PBS continues their defense of Hunter Biden.
And so I think he's, in some sense, he's a troubled guy who's the victim of his father and of politics, frankly.
How do you see it, EJ?
Yeah, I see, in terms of the tragedy here, I see it very much as David did. It was a little dispiriting to see Republicans on the one hand say, we've got to sort of live by this case, respect the jury. They found him guilty. These were legitimate charges. And then when asked about a certain jury in New York with a certain other person, oh, well, that is totally different. And yeah, I suppose they could argue if they want.
You suppose? With my own money, not AFR's, I will debate anyone at PBS anywhere, anytime about this, and I will win. Because it's not a hard case. It's nothing to do with me being especially skilled. It's simply looking side by side. Hunter Biden's case was slow-walked. Still is being slow-walked. These are the least important charges against Hunter. The most important are the fact that he is an unregistered foreign agent doing business on behalf of foreign nations, selling access to his dad. What is his dad doing for that money? We don't know. What we do know is that Joe Biden doesn't make any products and doesn't provide any services. We do know that she had multiple bank accounts and multiple LLCs. Those exist only for one reason. Those are called pass-through entities. They are to hide income. They are to launder money. That's what they exist to do. Happily have that conversation or debate with anyone at PBS at any time, anywhere. And I'll put up $5,000 of my own money. When I win, you will donate $5,000 of our money to the Wounded Warrior Foundation. When I win, I will donate it to the Navy SEAL Foundation. Fair game? Try me. Go to thetoddhermanshow.com and email me. We'll set that up. Our Pentagon, I believe, is aiding in the destabilization of the world. The world bosses, I believe, are also betting on destabilization to take control of one of the key resources, one of the common blessings the Lord God provides us. That common blessing is water. I'll explain as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Megalomania. It's a word that describes people who are so lost in their own egos that they have made gods of themselves. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Bill Gates, I used to work for Bill several layers down. I didn't work directly for Bill Gates. Few people did. I worked several layers down. I've been in a meeting with Bill Gates. In fact, I'd been in two. At one point, Bill Gates found some research I'd done in a paper I wrote. And shock of my life, he presented the results, quoting me, at a meeting. It was a moment of, I would say, pride at the time. It's a word I no longer like. Not in relation to myself. I've got a bad relationship with pride. But Bill did that. I had an opportunity to speak briefly with him about that research. And then he actually took that research and investigated a product that I had directed the creation of. See, there's that pride again. There were teams of people involved in that. I simply led the team of people who were and are smarter than me. Developers, designers. And he premiered that product on stage in Las Vegas with Jay Leno. It was a big moment. At the time, Bill Gates was awed. He was rude sometimes. Other times he was actually quite nice. I don't know that he was complimentary, but he asked questions. He was just a weird dude. Something changed. Bill Gates, in my judgments, has become a megalomaniacal weirdo with, well, tendencies to think he's God. I mentioned in the last segment that I believe our Pentagon is involved in trying to destabilize the world, no longer just our enemies, so-called. I think the world. And I think last segment, I may have made some people curious about that. Our Pentagon running troll farms to tell other countries to not take vaccines. Interesting. I thought that was a deadly, deadly evil. I thought troll farms were disinformation, not to be directed at others. Oh, by the way, the Pentagon has used the same technique on us. Oh, yeah, the same technique. Social media disinformation and then calling real information disinformation. But the world bosses, and I believe a lot of people at the Pentagon consider themselves to be world bosses, they're doing something else. They're coming after our common blessings. The Lord created common blessings for the good and the evil, although none among us are good. The decent people, God's people, people who walk with the Lord versus people who don't yet walk with Him. He created sunlight. He created water. He created food. So far, we know that Bill Gates and others want to limit the amount of sunlight you're allowed to have. They've decided that there's too much sun in certain parts of the world, so they want to shoot particles into the sky to block the sun. They've tested this. Bill Gates' people now at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation says he's now no longer part of that. Okay. He was just part of it when it was getting rolling out of places like Harvard. Got it. Bill Gates is involved in wanting to limit your supply of meat. He has gone about the world, and he's doing it again, talking about the evils of beef.
You know, there's a huge negative externality in terms of methane emission and land use that comes broadly from agriculture, but from beef in particular. And so, you know, we've got to fund the innovation almost at an unnatural level, so that we take that demand signal away.
So what he's saying is we need to put more money into the limitations on real meat by funding the creation of fake meat at unnatural levels, meaning a level at which we're not going to make our investment back right away or maybe even ever. Now, don't believe that part about ever. Bill Gates doesn't do anything that doesn't involve him getting richer. That's part of the game. He doesn't need the money. He needs the win. He gets a thrill out of the win. Bill Gates is invested in creating huge factories that make fake meat. Highly, highly processed food-ish stuff that will turn out to create problems galore in the human body. Processed foods are destroying people's health, particularly processed sugar. As he's doing this, and talking about methane, he chooses to not mention how methane is already used, how it's already recycled in our in God's beautiful, beautiful design. It's not just, though, meat. And this is one of Bill Gates' obsessions. It's water. In the state of Idaho, a bureaucrat, not even an elected official, has decided to turn off the water to second, third, fourth generation farmers in the Snake River Valley. Trevor Belknap is one of those farmers, and he is warning about this.
Today I wanted to talk about what's going on in Idaho, because some of you have probably heard about this, but the state of Idaho has put a water curtailment order, which is basically a water shutoff order, on literally a 500,000 acres of farmland. That's a lot of potatoes. A lot of these farmers, this impacts about 6,400 water users, but a lot of these farmers that are farming this land have already invested thousands of dollars per acre to grow potatoes.
They are doing this. Why? Well, they're not really sharing. The governor of Idaho, Brad Little, said there's nothing he can do. Yes, there is. You can call and you will get an emergency session on this. An emergency legislative session. You can do that. The legislature gets to override a bureaucrat. You know that. You could go to the papers and the media and people would interview you. You could call my podcast. Well, you can't call the podcast, but you could call me and come on. We have a huge audience in Idaho. You could do any number of things, but you won't. When the people who want to run the world were using investor money to try to seize farmlands in South Dakota, seize them to do what? To create carbon dioxide sequestration pipelines, to take carbon dioxide out of our air, to capture it, to pipe it underground, to store it in order to use it and sell it. To whom would they sell it? People making huge factories where fake meat will be made, and to petroleum companies. Did I say petroleum companies? Yes. To make a product called turbo diesel with carbon dioxide. Bill Gates has a patent to make fake proteins from carbon dioxide. And Kristi Noem, the so-called governor of South Dakota, said, oh, there's nothing I can do. She lied. She could have called an emergency session. Two state senators, in fact, stopped that. How? Well, they came on my program. I didn't do it. God did it. But they came on my podcast. And guess what? It drew attention to this. And they were able to stop this for now. In South Dakota, it was stealing farmland for carbon dioxide pipelines. In Idaho, it's stealing access to money. Trevor Belknap continued his description of what's going on in the state of Idaho.
I operate a family farm, a fifth-generation family farm in the Snake River Valley of eastern Idaho. And I just wanted to visit with you for a minute about the impacts of the water curtailment order that's been issued by Director Weaver from the Idaho Department of Water Resources. The situation in which we find ourselves is about as bad as it gets. Not only will we be out of business, many other businesses will be highly impacted, and you, as my friends and neighbors, will also be impacted because we're so interconnected. If the ag economy in eastern Idaho fails, which it surely will if this curtailment order is in place, it can remain in place, will dry up and blow away, just like it did back in the Dust Bowl of the 30s. Banks will fail. Equipment dealers, car dealers, gas stations, grocery stores all rely on the ag economy that's here in eastern Idaho. The children in our schools, how many of them belong to families who work in some form of ag industry in eastern Idaho? It's horrible. And we need to fix it.
But wait, Bill Gates is going to build skyscraper-sized factories to grow food hydroponically using piped-in carbon dioxide. because carbon dioxide is good for greenhouses. Greenhouses use it today. That's the same carbon dioxide that we're told is killing all the children and all the seals. Also a lie. Farmer Trevor Belknap says that we don't actually have a water problem. We have a water management problem.
And I would propose to you that it is not a water problem, it's a management problem. Because we have water. Reservoirs are full. The mountains are covered in snow. The river's been flowing well. So why now? Why after we've planted our crops, we have crops in the ground, they're already growing. Now, in the middle of June, they pull a curtailment order to say, you must cease pumping water. The cost is huge. An acre of potatoes costs upward of $4,000 an acre to grow. How will that ever be recovered? They will not grow without water. And what will that do to everyone else that's reliant upon us in this area and the state of Idaho? What will the counties do for roads and bridges, police departments, ambulances, hospitals that rely on the tax base? Property like this will become worthless. Without water, the land doesn't have any value here.
Remember this, that the people who want to run the world, people at the World Health Organization, people at Davos, they talked about the fact that they failed to get everybody to do the right thing with the COVID flu. That is, to get everybody to get injected. They failed. One of the things that they've said is, well, it wasn't important enough to people. We just didn't make it important enough for people to act in favor of the greater good. So let's use water. They've actually said this. Let's use water. Everybody needs access to clean water. If we make the issue about water, we can get people to finally start to undertake action in favor of the common good. Who determines the common good? Well, they do. Behold, a group of people so convinced of their own wisdom that they've lost any real wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. These people contend that it's their right to stand between us and the common blessings God provides the entire world. None of it can be defended with rigorous science. Not the preference for processed food mush over actual whole foods our bodies need in multiple ways, and not just for nutrition, but for cleaning our bodies, etc. Water. There is no shortage of water. Water is the ultimate renewable resource. God saw to that through the process of evaporation, which magically cleanses the water. Filtration through the earth. It's phenomenal. And this is the same technique, same exact technique, through bureaucrats, not elected officials, they used in South Dakota in an attempt to steal farmland. And yes, in fact, the people at the World Health Organization are still telling us that the same carbon dioxide that investors like Bono from U2, Reid Hoffman from LinkedIn, Steve Jobs' ex-wife, that they're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars to suck out of the air and acquire carbon dioxide that they intend to acquire, and they are, that they intend to sell to others. That carbon dioxide is still killing the world. This is Hans Kluge, the regional director of the World Health Organization in Europe.
Director General, my friends, let's not forget, while we are gathered here, millions of people are suffering from climate and environment-related impacts globally. The massive landslide we saw in Papua New Guinea, scorching temperatures in South Asia, extreme rainfall in Dubai, and severe flooding in our own Caucasus, to name just a few. No region is immune from the devastation of climate change. We must stand united, sharing knowledge, resources, and an unwavering commitment above all. Collective action now. Our very existence depends on it.
We've been hearing that since the days of World War II. No, actual true story. Hitler warned about the climate. I'm not calling that guy Hitler. I'm simply saying it's been around that long. You know that. There are people who are beginning to understand what government plus big business becoming one. That used to be called fascism, by the way. When government and business joined forces against the people. That used to be called fascism. Now fascism is mean tweets. Saying something mean on Twitter is fascism. Representative Luna is someone I really like. Anna Paulina Luna, state of Florida. She's introduced a bill to ban toxic dyes in high fructose corn syrup in food. See, the companies know this stuff is toxic. High fructose corn syrup is destroying the bodies of children. Now, I don't necessarily go around saying ban this, ban that. But scientists, and I learned this when I was in Mexico and got to be with two unbelievably robust doctors, huge, huge histories and CVs, curriculum vitals. I don't have one. I just have a resume. They told me that back in the day, doctors warned about refined sugar. Don't do it to people. Meanwhile, Bill Gates wants to force you to eat plastic meats. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I'm going to spend more time today as we wrap up the program with the segments that really is just me sharing a bit of myself with you because I think this applies so neatly to the world. I mentioned this Monday, a little hint of it, but I had a family reunion this past weekend. Didn't turn out quite the way we'd hoped weather-wise. Idaho can be that way this time of year. But there were a lot of other things that occurred. I talked to you yesterday about a young woman who had a mental crisis, had driven up into the woods. She said to get some rest. I don't know that that's true. She was at the end of her rope. I talked about that yesterday. This has to do with the meeting I had kind of worried about. One of our family members has made the decision to live as a man as she sees it. I don't believe that you can change genders and certainly not sex. I don't think that can be done. I was worried about it because I love her. So we'll spend a little bit more time on that today. Just anxious to share with you the magnificence of God's grace and how he dealt with that circumstance. It was just so beautiful. On this program, we thank the Lord, that same Lord, for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling that prove just that point about God doing this. In clip number one, longtime Washington, D.C. fixture and so-called journalist Glenn Kirshner talking about the choice before the American people in this coming election.
But, you know, what I feel like it boils down to this coming election is you could take the names off the ballot. Just have two boxes on the ballot. Democracy, dictatorship. Which one are you going to check?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see. On one side, we have a government that is jailing political opponents. Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon, seizing the assets of a media opponents, such as Alex Jones, InfoWars. $1 billion he owes the families of Sandy Hook for the horrible things he said, and they were horrible. He was wrong about Sandy Hook. $1 billion wrong? Now, they didn't go after Alex Jones when he was against Donald Trump because he used to be against Donald Trump. But when he came out in favor of Trump, wow, things changed. The other aspects of dictatorship. Oh, right. Forcing people to get injected. That was a Biden thing. Funding both sides of the war between Israel and Hamas. Forcing parents to pretend their kids are the opposite sex. You're right, Glenn Kirshner. One side certainly does appear to be a dictatorship. The other side is orange. Next up in today's Tower Babbling, let me set the scene for you. This is a man dressed like a woman who is asking an actual woman dressed in rainbow colors, what do you know about queers for Palestine?
And so I did a study abroad in the Middle East with Israel and Palestine.
Would you say you're pro-Palestine or pro-Israel?
Pro-Palestine.
She's pro-Palestine. Huh. She's standing there in rainbow colors talking to a man dressed as a woman. She's pro-Palestine. Men asked her the obvious question. You know that I would be killed in Gaza, right? Oh, she didn't like that part of the equation. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. Peter Hotez is effectively a diet doctor. He's now kind of Tony Fauci's replacement at the CDC, which is a pharmaceutical company. I just like to use proper language. He is going through and trying to revised history about the COVID flu.
And the Delta and Omicron variants arose out of unvaccinated populations in India and Africa. And ultimately, they came back to haunt us. It caused tremendous losses in human lives as well from the Delta and Omicron variants. And
no, that didn't happen. The variants did not arise out of so-called unvaccinated populations. The variance happened because you inserted something that you pretended was a vaccine during a time where the virus was spreading. Real immunologists, real vaccinologists told you if you do that, you're going to create a whole series of variants that wouldn't otherwise exist. But you did it anyway. Common sense would tell you this. Common sense would say when you take a population of people and force their bodies to produce the most poisonous element of the virus, that is the spike protein, but only that, the virus is going to say, oh, look, these bodies have developed a way to stop the virus spike protein for about 7 days before they become more infectable. We just need to change. Peter Hotez continuing the, ignominious tradition of the CDC lying. I don't think he's as good at it as Tony Fauci. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I mentioned this yesterday where I talked about the young woman who was having the mental health crisis up in the woods. I mean, not deep, deep woods, but up above some houses and in a park, local park. I had a family reunion, and I was worried about it. I was worried about it because a young woman is going to be there. I love her. She's family. She's made the decision, and she did this several years ago. She made the decision to live life as a man. And I was worried about this because I don't believe you can become a man as a woman. And also because of how destructive gender ideology is to families and how it's being forced upon children. Well, she was not a child when she made this decision. She was very nearly a legal adult. That's some wisdom to wait that long. I'm not saying it's a wise decision, but to wait that long, I think that contains an element of wisdom. Her parents have, I don't know that it's fair for me to say back this. In fact, it's unfair for me to talk about their hearts. I know her father quite well. I remember when she announced this, he and I had a discussion. They love their child. And so they use the pronouns, the male pronouns. I had arrived with my daughter. We talked about this in advance. And when we got there, there was this young woman, first person I saw. You know what? I forgot her new name. It's really awkward. I forgot her new name. And when we got out of the truck, I'm going to use her name. She chose a name, and I will use that name out of respect. I can't use the pronouns. Got out of the truck. I was so anxious to see her. And I observed, I guess, not fear, but concern in her eyes. I think she may have thought or been told to think that this particular family member may not warm to you again. I was genuinely so glad to see her. But I used the wrong name. And she corrected me, and she did it with dignity and understanding. And I grasped her hand in both of my hands and said, "It is so good to see you. And last time was at your home, and I remember that you shared artwork with my daughter. And it was just like the old days." Meeting her gaze, she has lovely eyes, just a lovely, lovely girl. And yes, I saw that she had some, there's some male qualities. And again, this is her story to tell. I will tell my side of it. And she's open about this, so I don't feel like I'm going behind her back. We went down to the covered area where family members were beginning to gather. We had four generations there. My aunt took the incredible step of getting my great-grandpa's actual overalls, his iconic overalls. He was almost never without his overalls on. She got those in one of his old shirts and one of his old hats, his gardening hats. He loved to garden. And she put that on a wheelbarrow because he loved his wheelbarrow. And she created a proxy for great, in my case, great grandpa. In her case, grandpa. And we had that. We had food. My daughter and this young woman absolutely, once again, hit it off. I saw them laughing with each other and showing each other their phones. And this young woman is pursuing a career in architecture. My daughter's pursuing a career in art, related in a way. Although this young woman's designs have to be able to withstand weather and pressures and earthquakes, and a little different. My daughters just have to immerse the mind. When we came time to kind of get together again, that is she and I, she came up and said, "Hey, do you still want to play that game?" I'd said we should play cornhole together. So yeah, absolutely. She and I played the game, and we went back and forth, and it doesn't matter who won. I won. But then we talked some more. We talked about her achievements and where she's headed in life and the comparison between my daughter's art and her architecture. We talked about her plans for after school. And I said to her, "Hey, you're the oldest cousin. You know you have a responsibility." She said, "Oh, well, tell me." I said, "It's your responsibility to grab the younger cousins who might not be feeling as comfortable as you and to help them find comfort." "Oh, I didn't know that." I said, "Yes, that is your responsibility. And you and my daughter, as the oldest cousins, you need to undertake that responsibility." She did it with glee and joy. And she started to gather the younger cousins together. Now, as the day went on, our time was interrupted. I mentioned this yesterday with this young woman who had this mental health crisis. And it was during a time where we'd just begun to serve food. And my younger cousin and I apparently were the only ones who heard the sound. It was a subtle sound. There was a lot of talking that was hard to hear. First, it sounded like a murder of crows. And I stopped and said, "What is that?" Because it also sounded like screaming. Well, my younger cousin heard it as screaming. And she ran up the hill. And she was the first to come upon the young woman we spoke about yesterday. God had decided that this younger cousin and I would work together in order to bring comfort to and some safety to this young woman who was wanting to kill herself. And she is in a bad way. She had a hospital bracelet on. She said that she had been raped multiple times. She said she'd escaped captivity in Montana. It's difficult sometimes to parse through what's real and what's not in those cases. I just assume everything they say is real, particularly on a topic like that. She said she was with child. And so my younger cousin went to my truck and she got my bug out bag that has my med kit in it and my reflective blankets. And she said, "I'm sorry, I thought this was another bag. I kind of rummaged through your truck." And I was able to turn to her and say, "Hey, bud, your family, you get to rummage." She liked that. I liked that. I saw her heart, her deep concern for this young woman. Even as an adult, and she's well into legal adulthood, when she came upon that young lady and I was running up the hill to see what was going on, she turned around to me and she said, my younger cousin said, "Help me, I need help." So mature. So mature. I had to cut my time with family short because the park ranger wanted to kick that young woman out of the park. It was absolutely unsafe. She should not have been driving. She should not have been left alone. We had called the mental health facilities. My sister, as I mentioned yesterday, works with rape survivors. My sister is a very accomplished nurse practitioner. She knows these circumstances. So she and I decided to work together to keep this girl from getting kicked out of the park, driving out of there. So our time with the family was cut short. But not before I had an opportunity that once again God presented. My daughter's boyfriend had arrived. She was spending time with him, and this younger cousin got to meet him. I saw them all three standing there together. I knew I would see my daughter later. I knew I would see her boyfriend later. So I went to this younger cousin, and God drew me to embrace her. And I hugged her, and she hugged me, and I felt her truly hug me. And I was able to say to her, "It is such a blessing to see you happy and well. And 2 years from being an architect, I am so incredibly proud of you." And she had tears in her eyes. She knows my stance on gender. I didn't need to repeat it. I told my daughter, "You know, one day I'd like to have a conversation with her about that." She goes, "I think she'd like that." I think so. We can disagree and we can love. Thank you, Lord, for having your face show through me. Thank you for that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until the Lord decides you and I can speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.